everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Megan Clark. I'm a doctoral student at Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health, and I'm here today to speak as a Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Scholar. And so the title of our talk is Farm to Family Obesity Prevention Initiative, a comprehensive prevention program involving physical activity, nutrition education, and a food access program in Louisville, Kentucky. Okay, so there are no disclosures. The outline of our presentation, I'm going to start us off by briefly explaining the Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Program and the academic partnership that we formed with the Food Literacy Project. And then Angelique, who's the community expert, is going to take over and explain to you the need for this program in the community, and then describe the program initiative and share some of the results and caregiver feedback that we received, and then wrap up with conclusions. So this is the diagram depicting this partnership model. And in 2013, we developed a partnership with community partners in the Food Literacy Project and Kentucky One Health, as well as academic partners at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, to launch the Farm to Family Initiative with funding from Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Program. And this funding is unique in that it provided support not only to the community initiative, but also to the academic partners at Johns Hopkins, which enabled us to provide technical assistance and support to ensure not only that the program was effective, but that we can ensure long-term sustainability. So we've been partnering from the inception of this program. We started off by developing a conceptual framework which outlined our goals and objectives, basically the plan going forward, which I think Angelique will share with you in a little bit. And from there, as my role as a scholar, I was helping in both the 8-month pilot phase and the 20-month implementation phase in helping Angelique develop the questionnaire to assess both baseline and follow-up information from the children participants, and also in creating a database, database management, and data analysis. So I'm very excited that we're able to share some of the results today with you from this fruitful partnership. Now I'll give it to Angelique.
Thank you. Excited to be here to share with you a bit more about the Farm to Family Initiative. First, wanted to give you an understanding of kind of the context of how the initiative unfolded in Kentucky. As you can see, looking at the map of the United States, obesity rates among children aged 10 to 17, Kentucky is among one of those darkest red shaded areas where up to 44% of children are overweight or obese. 37.1% of Kentucky children are actually overweight or obese, and certainly the problem is more severe among those children living in families who face poverty or income challenges. Louisville, Kentucky is the largest city in the state, and oftentimes people associate Louisville, you know, being a large city, wealthy. However, unfortunately, we have children and families who are facing poverty rates as severe as those in the far eastern corners of the state in the Appalachian area. So some big challenges for us in Kentucky. This is actually an outline of Jefferson County. The county and city are the same in Louisville. In Louisville, 52% of children live in poverty, and their parents are also facing some pretty significant challenges in terms of health. Over 65% of our residents are overweight or obese. Only 24% of our city's population are eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables daily. And 1 in 10 adults in Louisville is living with diabetes as a result. Our challenges are most severe in West and Southwest Louisville neighborhoods. You know, these are densely populated areas with extremely high poverty rates. A great percentage of minority populations, mostly African American, reside in these neighborhoods, and there are significant health disparities, so that adults face a higher risk and undue burden of diseases, you know, heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, compared to the county as a whole. And astonishingly, the life expectancy for residents in these neighborhoods is up to 12 years below the county average. So I'll use the mouse to showcase the neighborhoods where we worked were Shively, and you can see it's one of those darkly shaded areas, and South Central Louisville. So both kind of at the highest end of the spectrum in terms of, this is just age-adjusted diabetes death rates, but frankly, I could put a map up of any health outcome, and it looks pretty much the same. One other issue that's kind of exacerbating problems for families in Louisville is just access to fresh fruits and vegetables. This is a map generated as part of a community food assessment, which I worked on in 2006 and 2007, and it's showing the supermarkets and superstores in Louisville, and as well as household vehicle access rates in the county. So in this part of town, you know, there are very few grocery stores. Many families are relying on corner stores that have a limited quality and or quantity and quality of fresh produce. In fact, I think for the county as a whole, there's about one grocery store for every 25,000 residents, or excuse me, every 12,000 residents. But in west and southwest Louisville neighborhoods, that ratio is actually about one grocery store for every 12,000 residents. So extreme inequality in terms of access. And in the darkest shaded areas, up to 72% of households actually lack access to a single vehicle. So no transportation, no stores, you're stuck with what's around you. And unfortunately, that looks like this. This map showcases Broadway Street, which is the major artery in Louisville, connecting the east and west side of town. And as you can see here, there were about 24 fast food restaurants in a 2.4-mile stretch in Louisville in 2006. And that actually worked out to about the highest concentration of fast food restaurants in the entire state. Behind there, you're still seeing the vehicle access rate. So again, 72% of families don't have a car. It becomes, you know, affordable and accessible to rely on Taco Bell, Long John Silver's, Wendy's, just you name it, you got it. So families become dependent on these food, you know, restaurants to meet their kind of everyday food needs, having a great impact on young people and their families' health. The Farm to Family Obesity Prevention Initiative was a partnership, like Megan said, between the Food Literacy Project and Kentucky One Health. The Food Literacy Project is a small nonprofit in Louisville. Our mission is to inspire a new generation to build healthy relationships with food, farming, and the land. And we worked in partnership with Kentucky One Health, which is the largest health system in the state. And they're focused on kind of swimming upstream to address some of those conditions which put people in their clinics, addressing some of the problems kind of at the front end. We worked with Johns Hopkins, funding from the Community Healthcare Program. We worked with another nonprofit, the New Roots Fresh Stop Project in Louisville, the public school system. We have our school mascots for Hazelwood Elementary and Wellington Elementary there, and a few other local foundations. The Health Promotion Schools of Excellence program, which was collecting some student health data, also helped us to understand the impact of our work. And these are some of the core partners, but this slide could get bigger and bigger, really. It did. The partnerships grew as a result of our work together. The goal of our program was to promote healthy lifestyles for the prevention of childhood obesity among children ages 8 to 12 in Hazelwood and Wellington Elementary Schools, both located in west and southwest Louisville neighborhoods. These schools have extremely diverse populations, very high rates of free and reduced lunch participation, over 90% at each school, and both were located in neighborhoods that we would identify as food deserts, although I've come to dislike that term a little. Our goals were to improve nutritional proficiency among children and physical activity, and nutritional proficiency among caregivers, so that you know, we could see change in the entire family, and that young people could be supported in healthier lifestyles. As Megan said, we in 2013 kind of made a roadmap for how the program would unfold in a conceptual framework, looking at the background variables, some of the knowledge and we'd like to change, what intervention activities we would undertake, and what kind of outcomes we'd like to see, both in the short term, intermediate term, and long term. And this has been such a helpful tool in really keeping us focused, because there's so much work to do. It's, you know, you can be easily pulled off track. So the Farm to Family Initiative included several components, the first being farm-based education. At the Food Literacy Project, we actually are housed on an 8-acre organic vegetable farm, so we have the ability to actively engage young people, their minds, bodies, and their senses. We take a very experiential approach, learning by doing, getting your hands dirty, growing, harvesting, planting, preparing. We actually have an outdoor kitchen on our farm, so students can harvest something in a field and turn it into something delicious that they can like put on their tables at night. It really brings it alive. It's not just you know, vegetables are so unfamiliar. Many students don't know what a carrot looks like in the ground, or what a potato, that's my favorite. You know, they can immediately identify the box of McDonald's French fries if you peel off the tiniest corner, but they've never seen a potato plant before. So getting them engaged in these experiences and getting them excited about vegetables through farm-based education. We took an approach of youth development, so helping them, also utilizing school gardens. We had after-school clubs. Students, again, were planting, harvesting, exploring, building leadership skills, serving as change agents within their own families and schools, and the broader community. They worked to help get their families engaged in some of our food access programs, so again, making fresh foods more accessible. Families became engaged. Young people and their caregivers worked together, learning through hands-on experience. They were empowering themselves. You know, our approach was not just to give information, de-emphasizing the giving of information, frankly, and privileging that hands-on experience, because we know that it's only through that experience that people will actually like fall in love with vegetables. They're not just healthy, they're delicious, they're easy to prepare, they're fun to grow and interesting. And finally, another very important component of the intervention was the food access programs we undertook. We had two elementary schools and kind of took a different approach at each. The Wellington Fresh Stop was kind of a staggered income CSA. Families could use their SNAP benefits to purchase shares of farm fresh produce that were pulled together from many different farms inside and outside of Jefferson County. And it was a staggered income approach, so if you couldn't afford to pay the $25 that it would typically cost for a share, you could get a share for $12. If you were a WIC mom, you could get a share for $6. At Hazelwood Elementary, our other school, we had a farm share program. We actually offered families fully subsidized shares of fresh produce throughout the entire growing season. So as they were learning, these foods were coming home each week. We helped establish a farmer's market at St. Mary and Elizabeth Hospital, a part of Kentucky One Health, and that hospital is located within a mile of Hazelwood Elementary School. Another interesting component was we had teens who worked with us in the summer growing fresh vegetables on our farm. They were actually part of running that farmer's market and distributing those foods to families, so really tried to get a comprehensive approach, so it's not just, I know what to eat, I know how to make it, but I can actually put this food on my table every night. I have the access. Like I said, we work with two schools, Hazelwood and Wellington Elementary School. We targeted 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade students. We had 12-week after-school clubs, parent engagement programs, year-long farm-based education, so students were coming multiple times, seeing the farm in different parts of the growing season, and understanding what seasonal eating means in food access programs. We developed pre- and post-program surveys that allowed us to understand change, and so far We've reached about 138 children and 39 caregivers between the two schools in the implementation phase of the program. Like Megan said, there was a formative phase, which was very valuable in working out the kinks. This table highlights the baseline characteristics of children participating in the program. These are students that had complete data, so a pre and a post survey, so about 112 children. We had slightly more males than females. A majority of students were in that 8 to 9 year old range, and as you can see in terms of the diversity there, in terms of race and ethnicity, Hispanic students, a large proportion of African American students, and among others, we had Vietnamese. The Hazelwood School is located in an extremely diverse part of town, so quite a lot of other ethnicities as well. And over 91% of students participating in free and reduced lunch. And here, this slide shows the correct nutritional knowledge at baseline and follow-up. So modest changes in terms of knowledge. Like I said, we de-emphasize that giving of information. But as you can see here, quite a lot of knowledge increase, very significant in terms of how many kids have actually harvested meat and vegetable, how many can actually cook a healthy recipe. And this played out in terms of very significant increases in those students eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables daily, and a great increase in students meeting that daily physical activity requirement as well. What's more powerful to me than those data slides, although I love the data, is what the impact that we had in children's and caregivers' lives. They learned how to grow vegetables, how to cook with healthy foods. They sat down and prepared a meal each night and had the opportunity to share their own experiences with one another, so increasing family-to-family support for healthy eating. A student, I love seeing the connection between food in the garden and preparing it in an omelet or a salad. Most of them are doing that for the first time. Many families came each week learning to eat healthfully. They were so grateful for the opportunities, and I think they've really taken to heart some of the things they learned in the program. So in conclusion, I think the program model definitely built capacity in our small organization for more sophisticated monitoring and evaluation methods, and that children are showing significant increases in knowledge related to preparing and consuming healthful foods as well as healthy behaviors. We felt like school-based programs are an effective method to reach students and caregivers, and also that experiential nutrition education and access were a core part of how we were able to help improve children's health in the long term. So acknowledging just the Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Program, our faculty and scholars at Johns Hopkins, the public school system, and some of our other supportive foundations. Thank you. So we're still in the midst. We have funding to continue through March of 2016. As a small nonprofit, we're always working to raise money, but we do have funding in place. Currently, the Humana Foundation is helping us to continue in the short term, and we continue to strive to raise funds to sustain it over the long term. So we've actually had students participate in multiple years because this did span a couple school years. So we've definitely stayed in touch with some of the families. We've connected them with there's an active living center at the hospital. They have access to exercise, nutrition education. So there is some opportunities for them to continue their journey.
Thanks. Okay, great presentation, great questions.